You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, Waco is coming out, the truth about Waco. Remember, regardless of all these other people who say that they're the ones who broke the story, they're lying. The story came out on this broadcast over the years since Waco occurred. All of it, everything that you're hearing today, bar none, without exception, was exposed on this broadcast a long, long time ago. Long time ago. All of it, every single bit of it. And I'm telling you right now, this is not going to be pretty, no matter how hard Janet the Butcher tries to hide it. It's not going to work. No matter how hard the FBI and everybody else tries to cover it up, it's not going to work. It's all going to come out. Delta Force and the FBI murdered the Branch Davidians. Tonight is part two of the interview that CNN conducted with me on March the 5th, 1992.
And everybody will be called to report to some place to get an inoculation, which is going to do two things. One, it's going to stop AIDS in its tracks. And number two, it's going to implant a device which will be able to be used to track each individual person and maybe even to control those people. And that's what the pet implant program is all about. It's not about finding lost pets. They don't give a damn about pets, and they would never put a satellite in orbit to find a lost pet. But yet there's a satellite up there that they're using to find pets that have been implanted with these devices. The testing, this program on pets that's going to be used in human beings. And in the Los Angeles Times in 1989, they ran an article. It was 10 forecasts for the coming decade was the title of the article. I have a copy of it in my research center. And number five, I believe it was number five, in those 10 forecasts for the coming decade was chemical or electronic implants to control individual behavior on a 24-hour basis, unquote. So it's not hidden at all. It's there for anybody who wants to look.
But nobody's looking.
Nobody's looking. They believe, and I believe that they're right, that the biggest danger to mankind right now is man himself, population. A study in 1957 told them that by 1990, the world population would double. In 33 years, can you imagine that? The world population of human beings doubled in 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that it's an exponential doubling throughout history. Every time it's doubled, the interval has gotten shorter. So that was 33 years. The next doubling will take place in approximately 28 years. The next one after that, approximately 24 years. Can you imagine if the world population doubles again in 28 years from 1990? In other words, in the year 2018, the world population doubles. And we're having problems with food supplies and timber and clean water and clean air now. And then after that, it doubles again in another 24 years. That's why they created AIDS. Because they didn't want to have to go around the world and say, you and you up against the wall, you've got to die today, and shoot them. They did it in a manner where they could target what they consider to be undesirable populations. And I want to be very clear that I don't agree with them on this. They specifically targeted blacks, Hispanics, and homosexuals for complete eradication. And AIDS is really going through those populations, and it's really doing a number on blacks, Hispanics, and homosexuals.
That theory has made news. I've heard that before, and
well, this
it's been
the theory
very clear by the public saying, "Oh, that's ridiculous." But you're saying that that may indeed be the case.
It's not ridiculous. I actually saw this in documents. And the project name was Project Naomi. MK Naomi was the name of it. It was a CIA project, the AIDS, whatever causes AIDS, whatever that turns out to be, according to those documents, was developed at Fort Detrick, Maryland, under a CIA project called MK Naomi. It was financed by $10 million for the Department of the Army's biological warfare programs. It was carried out, supervised by the CIA, carried out by scientists who worked for the Special Operations Division of the Department of Defense. It's going. It's doing its job.
And would you assume if AIDS doesn't work, there's a contingency plan for that even?
Well, I think that they have other things out there working concurrently. One thing I've learned about these men, if they don't just do one thing, in case the public discovers what they're doing, or discovers that somebody's doing, whether they know who's really doing it or not, and stops it, what they have running is several concurrently running plans so that if one or two fail, the other ones are going to take care of the problem.
Now remember, folks, I was revealing this in 1988. This interview was conducted with me by CNN March the 5th, 1992. I wrote about it in my book, which was published in December of 1990. Since then, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, Dr. Cantwell, and many others have published books, all confirming what I said then. But I think it's very strange that not one single one of them even gave me one sentence of credit for being the one who revealed this to the world.
Sounds pretty hopeless. I mean, based on that scenario, is there anything, any uprising or what?
Yeah, there is, but it requires that people wake up. It requires that they really learn the truth instead of live their life in fantasy land. You see, because nothing can exist without the consent of the people. Unless they buy it, it's not going to happen. And all of these plans that lead to the public's ultimate acceptance of what they're going to do. In fact, they're designed to make the public ask for it. For instance, the burning of the rainforest in Brazil. I know people who are just up in arms. Stop this. We've got to stop the burning of the rainforest, which is exactly what the burning of the rainforest is designed to do. Because Brazil is a sovereign nation, right? How can you tell a sovereign nation to stop burning its own forest? You can't. What they're asking for is control over a sovereign nation by a world governing body who can then send troops, a police force, to make Brazil stop burning the rainforest. And that's why they started the burning of the rainforest in the first place. You see, they went down there and they built a road across the Amazon jungle that went nowhere. There was no reason for this road to be built. There was no place to go. It doesn't go from here to a city on the other side. It just goes across the jungle and ends. And they built this road on purpose because they knew that most of the people in Brazil are so dirt poor that they would see this road as the answer to their prayers. Free land, free timber, a way to support their family, a way to become wealthy, or at least more wealthy than they were, which was no wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. Millions of people headed out down this road and staked out some land and burned the forest and tried to grow crops. And they found that rainforest is no good for growing crops. It'll grow one crop, and then you got to go burn more trees and plant another crop because the soil is poor. And that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the forest is being burned. And it was done intentionally to create the scream of stop burning the rainforest so that then they could offer the solution. The solution is a world governing body that can then order and enforce that order of Brazil to stop burning
the rainforest. So the green movement worldwide
is
now
manipulation.
Just a manipulation.
Yes.
Of, now, it's been proposed time and again, too, that big business is behind things like this, and that would represent a capitalist approach, but what you're saying is we're heading toward a socialist approach based on this scenario.
You have to understand the difference between capitalism, socialism, communism, what all of these things really mean. You have to understand that what the difference is between right wing and left wing. People, they use these phrases all the time, and they don't even know what these things mean. And it's just incredible to me to hear a socialist calling someone else a Nazi. Because Nazi means national socialism. So here's a socialist calling a right-wing guy a Nazi. when he, what he should be calling the right-wing guy is anarchist. People on the right want no control. Mm-hmm. They're really anarchists.
Okay? So they would, in theory then, or in fact, be in opposition to the ultimate movement.
Yes.
Whereas in appearance, they would be the ones behind it.
Well, if, when you have a misunderstanding of what the terms mean, yes.
Okay.
Right-wing on the far right is total anarchy. They don't want anybody controlling anything that they do, and they believe that people are responsible enough that the world can exist without government.
Okay.
Or the very minimal government that it would take to. On the far left, on the other hand, they believe that the government should be in total control and should be supply man with all of his needs.
Well, creating a whole society that's dependent.
Right. A republic is somewhere in the middle. It's governance by laws. Laws are decided by representatives who are elected by the people. And according to the theory, the representatives will do what is right, whether they get elected or not, because it's not really a democracy. A democracy is far left. People don't understand. We don't live in a democracy. This country is not a democracy. It is a republic. A democracy is ruled by the mob. The mob always votes themselves every kind of benefit that they can vote themselves. And whenever you do that, it means large, tremendously overpowering government in control.
They vote themselves into dependency.
That's it. They vote themselves into a dictatorship is what they do, where they lose all of the benefits that they intend. UFOs play a big role in this. Because if they're real, it's the most significant thing that's ever happened in the history of man, and may be the driving force behind locking up the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Because how could a UFO land in a place like Macon, Georgia, and somebody who doesn't look like us get up, get out, walk down the street? And I'm not trying to insult the citizens of the state of Georgia. What if they landed in Newark, New Jersey, and got out and walked down the street? In a society that kills people because they sit in the wrong seat on a bus, because their skin is a different color. I mean, we're talking about something totally alien to the earth, not just a different color of skin.
Mm-hmm.
So if extraterrestrials are real, this could be the driving force for locking up the human race. In other words, hey, gang, you're a danger. We have to lock you up. Or it could be a secret technology that's been developed by humans and is being used by humans to create an external threat to the earth that doesn't exist. Because what better way to cause all humanity to unite in a one world government than to create an extraterrestrial threat to the human race?
Okay, for those people interested in knowing more about this or contacting you or sending you information that they may have on this, is there an address you can give or some way that they can do this?
Sure. It's Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde.
Would you assume that our phone lines would be bugged at this point?
I don't know. I doubt it. They don't really consider you to be a threat unless you develop a large political following.
Okay.
So, unless you have a large political following, you're not considered to be a threat to them. Because they figure that the people are too stupid to listen to you anyway. And generally, they're right.
So we're in the process of educating people, then.
Yeah.
The best thing.
Education is 60 or 70% of the battle.
Yeah.
Because people automatically begin to do the right things once they learn what the truth is.
Right. Let's go back into the Kennedy situation here. Now, the Warren Commission was highly publicized, all the things that went on there. I was shown a videotape just yesterday of was it the Zapruder film?
It is the Zapruder.
Okay, and it clearly showed to me that a number of things. One in which that the film was obviously tampered with.
Absolutely.
But not tampered with to the point where I couldn't tell that the driver of the limousine was pulling a gun, or what appeared to look like a gun, around his shoulder and shooting President Kennedy in the head. That caused his head to snap back. Did the Warren Commission see this? It seems so.
The Warren Commission never looked at the Zapruder film, ever. So they never saw it. Now, I don't know who testified during the Warren Commission about the Zapruder film, if anybody did. But I do know that later at the investigations of the House Select Committee on Assassinations, that a man was specifically hired as an expert witness to view the Zapruder film and tell the committee what it showed. And that man's name is Robert Grogan. He wrote High Treason, which is a bestseller out now, the Kennedy assassination. And he was one of the many so-called technical experts for the filming, making of Oliver Stone's film called JFK. He's also a fake, a fraud, a traitor, a liar. He was hired by the House Select Committee on Assassinations based upon his resume, which says, very simply, that he is the world's foremost number one photo analyst. Which is a lie. He never went to school in photography. He never was a photographer. He never was a photo analyst. And I got to tell you right now that the world's number one foremost photo analysts have all come out of the military intelligence community who are trained to interpret high-altitude photography and learn what really is there. He never served in that capacity either. He looked at the Zapruder film, and he told Congress, he told the committee in testimony, he testified, both in written and in verbal form, that William Greer never took his hands off the steering wheel. And that's a blatant lie. I mean, anybody can look at the Zapruder film and see that William Greer takes his hands off the steering wheel. And even if you couldn't see it, if they cut out the frames, you can still see that William Greer's, if this were the seat of the car, is turned all the way around with his right side against the rear cushion of the front seat, looking directly at President Kennedy in this attitude, and it is a physical impossibility to have both hands on the wheel in that attitude. So we know that Robert Grogan, number one, was not who he said he was, had no expertise to be doing the job that he was hired to do. Number two, even if he had no expertise, it is plainly visible in the film that William Greer could not possibly have had both hands on the wheel. So we know that Robert Grogan didn't make a mistake. We know that he intentionally lied to deceive Congress and thus the American people. And what's real strange about it is he's been very active in the research community, supposedly exposing the assassination of President Kennedy. But if you look what he does, he is constantly coming up with new theories, supposed new evidence, most of which is fake. And in his book now, High Treason, he makes a statement that the Kennedy was probably hit from the front and the rear at the same time. His job is to keep the American people confused and propagate the lie that our government is no good, that it's our government who assassinated John F. Kennedy. And I'm here to tell you, it wasn't our government. It was the secret societies known as the Illuminati, the Knights Templar, the Freemasons who assassinated John F. Kennedy. And the proof is right there for anybody who wants to see it. William Greer was a Freemason, number one. He was the Secret Service agent who shot Kennedy. Number two, in Dealey Plaza, there's an obelisk, a monument, commemorating the location of the first Masonic temple in the state of Texas. Dealey Plaza is on the 33rd parallel, which is one of the sacred numbers in Freemasonry. He was assassinated in a manner that assured the greatest flow of blood, which is called blood atonement, which was practiced by Freemasonry in the early days and supposedly is not practiced now. But in reality, is the method of choice of execution, trial and execution by Freemasons. The Bilderberg group that orders his execution is the Supreme World Council of Freemasonry and consists of 39 permanent members, which is 3 times 13, which is also the exact number of men who signed the Constitution. 39. You see, our forefathers were also members of this secret group, and this country was founded to bring about the New World Order. And it's all in the Great Seal of the United States, which was, and that, the design of the Great Seal was made law in 1782. It's just absolutely incredible that the American people don't understand that groups of men don't get together and meet in secret and take blood oaths, which say that they can be cut open and their heart ripped out of their body and their intestines scattered over the floor if they talk about the secrets. That's not a benevolent fraternity. That's a dangerous group of men. Grown men don't play games like that. They're serious. It's the secret societies who are bringing about the New World Order. They're the ones who killed John F. Kennedy. There's nothing wrong with our Constitution or our Bill of Rights. But Americans are going to be convinced that our government sucks. And that's what all this stuff is all about.
So at the beginning, the founders of this country actually did create what was an above board good government basis for a good government.
Oh, yes. They gave us every tool to ensure the success. But it was an experiment, you see, because man had always claimed that he could rule himself, but had never been allowed to do that. Even in ancient Rome, they call it a democracy, and man didn't rule himself. He was ruled by other people who made man think he was ruling himself. But the truth was, a Roman centurion could march down the street and grab anybody they wanted to and make you do whatever they wanted to, or just execute you on the spot. And that was the truth of the matter. Those weren't free people. In the history of the world, there had never been a people who were truly free or who truly ruled themselves until the United States of America was created as a republic by which we rule ourselves through elected representatives whom we sent to the state house, either in the states or to Congress, to do it. They also gave us every tool by which we would destroy ourselves if we weren't capable of doing it. The United States and France, the revolution in this country and the revolution in France, were created to bring about governments which would function as the antithesis to the kings and queens of the world and cause them to topple off their thrones. It also gave man a chance to prove once and for all whether he could rule himself or not. And if he could, fine, that would be the New World Order. If he couldn't, they built the tools into the Constitution to allow them to take it away from us. And those tools are the creation of the federal democracy within the boundaries of Washington, D.C., and the right to contract, through which, if we were irresponsible, we would contract to receive rights from that federal democracy and thus, in return, give up our freedom. And that's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what we've done. John F. Kennedy was short-circuiting the New World Order. He had ordered the printing of constitutional money, United States notes, which would have destroyed the Federal Reserve, which is not an agency of the United States government. It's a private corporation owned and operated by the world bankers, controlled by the Illuminati. And its purpose was to destroy the middle class in this country and thus our economy and throw us at the mercy of the New World Order.
And we see this unfolding now.
You see it unfolding now. You are seeing, and I predicted this well in advance, you are seeing the destruction of the economy of the United States. And it will continue. It will not get better. Downhill from here on out. Unless we nationalize the Federal Reserve, lock up the criminals who own it, cancel the debt, which will then bankrupt the Illuminati, which is exactly what we ought to do, print constitutional money, which cannot be usurped, which cannot lead to our destruction, and go back to what we're supposed to do, and quit contracting for benefits. We're escaping from the laws of nature, and there's a terrible consequence for that.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible consequence. We have to function within the laws of nature. You can't contract for somebody else to keep you alive. You have to be responsible within your life to keep yourself alive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do it, then you have to die. That's the law of nature. You see. Kennedy also did a lot of other things. I mean, he was a believer in the Bible. These men who are bringing about the New World Order don't believe in the God of the Bible.
By the way, folks, the laws of nature are the laws of God.
Believe in the God of light, Lucifer, the angel of light, who's flung down to the earth and became the Lord of the world. That's their God. That's why everything they do, it goes against what people know to be the right thing to do. They believe that man was held prisoner by a vindictive, cruel God named Jehovah in the Garden of Eden. And that Lucifer, through his agent Satan, set man free from the bonds of ignorance to which he was chained to the Garden of Eden, and thus brought the gift of intellect, wisdom, to man, and thus is the true benevolent God. And man, with his intellect and his wisdom and his knowledge, will create technology which will elevate man to the position of God. And all this is allegorical. Don't take the story literally, you see, because it's all allegorical. They believe that intellect, reason, is the light, is the true God, is what makes man God. And I'm not going to debate the right or wrongness of that, because who the hell knows? But I can tell you that they pervert whatever it is that might be divine about their philosophy
mm-hmm.
by becoming what they profess
to
destroy. To
destroy, yes.
And so, in their zeal to bring about the New World Order, they destroyed the political will of the nation when they assassinated John F. Kennedy, which has furthered their goals because it made a lot of people feel so helpless.
Right.
That, God, if they can kill the president, who am I? You know, what can I do? I'm just one lonely, helpless person. So they quit voting. They abdicated their power. And, of course, through agents like Robert Groden and many others, Oliver Stone, they're being convinced that our government sucks, that our government is the problem, that the Constitution doesn't work, that the Bill of Rights aren't real.
We're playing right into their hands, in other words.
We're playing right into their hands, because there's nothing wrong with the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or our government. You see, it's been infiltrated. And from within, they are eating at the heart of this nation like a cancer, this secret society. They are destroying it. They are subverting it. Our Constitution has not been allowed to work since 1945 and maybe even earlier. And they have been working behind the scenes to bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government with the Communist Manifesto as its platform through the United Nations, which was created by this nation from an older organization called the League of Nations, which was the original foundation. And at the highest levels of our government, the Constitution's already been scrapped, and they are working under the aegis of the UN Participation Act and the United Nations Charter.
Which says what?
Which says that there are no rights, there are only what you call privileges. And privileges can be granted or taken away at will by the state.
Quite a frightening scenario.
It's a very frightening scenario, and people better wake up to the fact that unless they wake up and do something about it now, there's only going to be one alternative. And that's either take up arms, restore the Constitution, and the blood will run in the streets of America, or reach down and put the shackles around your own feet and march off into slavery peacefully. Not going to be easy the coming years.
Wow. Now, historically, this may or may not relate, but at least modern world, well, contemporary world history does not include the stories of Atlantis and Lemuria mm-hmm. that go predate. How does that history, and why was that suppressed, or why is it still being suppressed? How might that affect what we are understanding is going on today, or is it related?
Well, I'm not sure if a place called Atlantis or Lemuria ever existed or didn't exist. I don't really know. But I do know that the story that is told about the civilizations that lived there are something that we should listen to, because this whole scene may have played itself out before on this earth. And if you understand the theory, which I believe has been accepted as fact now, continental drift,
mm-hmm.
there may have been an Atlantis and a Lemuria, which had tremendous... tremendously developed technologies and societies. And the same scenario that we're playing out now in this great stage called the world may have played itself out over and over again in the past for millennia. In my investigation of the mystery schools, the secret societies that are bringing all this about, that really control everything behind the scenes, I found that this is all about religion. And it's all about a recurring theme that is penetrated and is at the heart of every religion in the world. And that is a creator or a creatress who has a son that is sacrificed and then is resurrected and saves the world or saves humanity. It seems to be an archetype that is within us. And so that you don't go flipping out watching this tape, I'm a Christian. I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, even though it may turn out that he may have never lived. The scene, it doesn't matter. When you read his words, and you can go back through history and find these are the same words that were spoken by every savior that there ever was, are the most beautiful, most profound, most affecting words that have ever been spoken on the face of this earth. And when I get down and almost get to a point of hopelessness, I just go read the Sermon on the Mount. And I come back up again. Because in the end, it's not going to matter whether Jesus ever lived or didn't live. The story is real. And it's within all of us. And it brings us to something within ourselves that's good. But these men don't look at that. They believe that the end justifies the means, that these stories are just stories, and that the real meaning behind it all is that man can transcend his animal state through the realization of intellect and the overcoming of all of his emotions and feelings and morals, guilt, all of these things. And I just can't go along with that because I believe it's our emotions that tell us when we're doing wrong. We feel it within ourselves. And a person without that capacity to feel when they're doing wrong becomes a sociopath, which is someone without a conscience who really believes that the end justifies the means and therefore has no pangs of conscience nor no reluctance to murder someone who gets in their way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely dangerous.
And something else that I didn't mention during that interview is empathy. Someone who does not have any emotions has no empathy. In other words, they can't feel what the other person is feeling. And boy, you talk about dangerous.
Now, do these people recognize the continuity of life? In other words, you have told me earlier that they're after physical immortality.
They believe that through their technology, man will become God. It's power of reason. Through technology, man will himself become God. They will engineer, just like Hitler wanted to do, the super race who will live forever. And the concept is the same, and the men behind it are the same as Hitler was. When they killed John F. Kennedy, it shows you what kind of men they are. Because they would not stop to kill anyone who gets in their way. And they've never stopped at it. Their goal, literally, to bring about the New World Order, will be to kill approximately 2 billion people before the year 2000. AIDS is one method of doing this. There'll be many more. As they solidify their control, everyone will be given a choice. They'll be presented with a New World religion. They'll be told to renounce Christ, renounce Buddha, renounce Muhammad, join the New World Order, join the New World religion. If they refuse, they'll be executed. Very simple. And it won't bother them a bit. In fact, according to their beliefs, they believe they'll be helping these people. And in reality, they will. Because those people will transcend this physical state while they're prisoned here living forever. I feel sorry for them. Because those of us who will eventually die will transcend the pain and the suffering that goes along with this world. Mm-hmm. And they're so egotistical that they preserve whatever they do so that the diligent can find out what kind of men these men really are. For instance, the Kennedy assassination, I've been showing a film for 5 years that shows exactly who did it. I showed you exactly where Oswald is on the film. He wasn't even on the sixth floor. He was standing in the doorway of the book depository building watching the motorcade go by. And it's incredible.
At the same time, you said they would have everybody renounce religion.
Yes.
Have they as well been using it as a tool for their means?
If you're a Christian, you'll be required to renounce Christ and join the New World religion. Now remember I told you before, no matter what your religion is or what you think, they are following the scenario in the book of Revelations to a T, right down to the last little bit. If you want to know what's going to happen in the future, if we don't wake up, and through the power of those, see, not one drop of blood ever has to be spilled, and no one has to ever put any chains on their legs or their arms, ever. If people just wake up and exercise what was given to us in our Constitution, the power of the vote, while we still have that power.
So you say there is still a possibility for like one individual watching this tape to actually make a difference.
You better believe it.
How would that be so?
Well, number one, learn what the truth really is. Get away from the fantasy that you've been living. Educate other people, those you know, your family. Once that begins to happen, it spreads. And then if the people decide that they don't want what they have in store for us planned, just through the power of the vote, they can make this country and the world whatever they want it to be. Whatever they want it to be. And there are no limits on that, except to understand that you can never make everything all right, and you can never make everything all bad. Both must exist, and we must maintain a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And we must become responsible. If each individual on this earth learned to walk in a divine state of grace, responsible for themselves, their family, their city, their state, their country, and for the world.
And for the laws of nature.
And for the laws of nature. And actively participate in solving the problems of yourself, your family, your city, your state, your country, and the world, there could never be a group of men meeting behind closed doors in secret that could ever control anybody. But by abdicating responsibility, by not walking in that divine state of grace, makes possible anyone meeting behind closed doors to bring about the world that they want. And the world that they want may not be the world that you want, or that I want, or that these people watching might want.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't participate, you can't complain. If you don't help cook the meal, you got no right to bitch about it. You got to sit down and eat what's put on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like that, then you should have been in the kitchen helping to prepare the meal, helping to plan it, helping to prepare it, helping to serve it. If you want to sit on your butt in the living room while somebody else prepares the meal for you and decides what it's going to be and puts it on the table, it's too late to say that's not what you wanted to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late to say it's not cooked the way you wanted it to cook.
Well, that's very simple to understand. And
that's right. You've got to eat it because you have to eat to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anybody can understand the meaning behind that little story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a step back to the Kennedy thing now.
Cool. This is all about the Kennedy.
Well, yeah, it is. But just specifically about, once again, I want to bring up the film as well. Another thing that came to my mind when I viewed it is that the two Secret Service men, the driver and the person sitting next to him in the front, regardless of what they claim happened, obviously did not operate in a way that you were trained as a Secret Serviceman to protect the president. Shouldn't they have just driven that car right out of there, and the other guy should have done something to protect or look for who's shooting? You know, it just didn't seem to make any sense. How would the Warren Commission not, they didn't see the film, so I guess
they didn't see the film by design, because if they saw the film, they'd have to be responsible for the decision that they made that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone assassin.
Okay.
So I think they didn't see the film on purpose because they didn't want to have to be responsible for saying,
making
the driver did it. You know, they didn't want to make that decision. And in a letter that Lyndon Johnson wrote to the Warren Commission, he specifically said in the letter, you must quickly identify Lee Harvey Oswald as acting alone with no conspiracy so that America can get back to business.
Was Lyndon Johnson acting on behalf of the secret society? Or
oh,
was he
of course. He had to know all about it and approve of it because he was going to be the new president. And the new president would be in charge of the investigation.
How high up a government official do you have to be before you're briefed of this, you know, the total of all the things that are going on, the reality behind them?
Well, you have to understand that nobody exists on a high level in government who's opposed to the New World Order. Nobody. Our government has literally been infiltrated. And there's a cancer within our government destroying it, eating it, nibbling away at it, hacking off its limbs.
And you said this started in 1945?
1945 was when the overt destruction began to occur, when Truman signed the UN Participation Act and the United Nations Treaty. It actually began long before that, when these secret societies began to infiltrate the government and appoint their members to important posts. Infiltration is easy. If one gets in, he can then appoint and hire others to replace people who are not members below him.
So now we've had over 50, almost 50 years of this going on.
At least. I believe that it started back probably 1913, 1917, when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, when the Council on Foreign Relations became a reality in this country. And you can, by diligent research and study, you can see when it happened, where it happened, who did it, and how it was done. It's apparent. When they say there's no conspiracy, I mean, we talk about a conspiracy. It started out as a conspiracy. But when they say today there's no conspiracy, that's not a lie. It's the truth. They're doing it right out in the open, right under our noses, and we're too stupid to know it, to see it. So it's not a conspiracy now today.
Mm-hmm.
At all. It's right out in the open. They even published their plans. I mean, here Carter appointed the big new Brzezinski as the national security advisor, who just wrote a book before he was appointed declaring himself a Marxist. When you read that book, this man believes in Marxism. This man is a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Not only a socialist, he's an international socialist. He's a globalist. His goal, stated in his book,
right,
to destroy the sovereignty of nations and bring about a one-world Marxist government.
Now, the Carter administration was one extreme, and then we came into the Reagan administration, yet
nothing changed.
What you're saying is that no matter what the political leanings, they seem to be playing the same game.
As long as you're playing their game, it doesn't matter who you vote for, who you put in office. They all belong to the other side. They're the pockets of the Illuminati. When you quit electing professional politicians, when you quit electing the guy who looks nice on television because he speaks good and he looks like the guy you wanted to marry or something like that, you're playing right into their hands. You know, they made it so impossible for another Abraham Lincoln to get elected to the office of president that it's a wonder that we even have a chance at all. We need to send people to Congress and to government who are going to clean house. Kick all the members of secret societies out of the bureaucracy. Lock them up. Try them for treason. Because they are traitors.
So one thing that may help is term limitations.
We must have term limitations, and it must be only one term. And forget all this nonsense that anybody goes to Washington and don't know what's happening. They don't know what's happening simply because they haven't taken the time as citizens to understand how our government works before they ever go to Washington. You see, it should be a process that starts in infancy. It works its way up. And everybody should be taking part in the government.
Now, if someone came in to office with this kind of knowledge and with this kind of intent to really push these people out, would they not be eliminated immediately?
Not if they had the people behind them. Because what the people would do in one fell swoop, in one election, would elect people who've never served in government before, kick the incumbents out, send citizens to Washington. And here's the way it has to be done. You know, right now, you don't even pay your congressman. You know who pays your congressman? the federal democracy of the District of Columbia. The federal government pays your congressman, who's supposed to be representing your state and you. The federal government is a foreign country to your state. Why should he represent you? Not only that, but he goes, he moves to Washington, D.C. He maintains a residence here, but he doesn't live here. And as long as you reelect him, he continues to live in Washington, D.C. forever if you keep reelecting him. So they lose all touch with what's back here. They're paid by a foreign government, the federal government. They're not paid by the sovereign state of Georgia or by you. They have to be paid by you. And they have to live here. They can't move to Washington, D.C. They go to Washington, D.C. for one term. Okay? One term only. When that term's up, they have to come back. And you don't pay them exorbitant funds. You pay them just enough to live on comfortably while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
No fancy giant cocktail parties, none of this crap. And you take care of their family. See, they don't take their family either. That's the other clue. They leave their family here, where they live.
Mm-hmm.
You, the people of Georgia, take care of their family and their business or their farm or whatever it is they have while they're gone. Now, do you think they have a vested interest in representing you? They sure would under those conditions.
Yeah.
But under the conditions they go under now, they have no interest whatsoever in taking care of you.
Now, let's look at the current...
They're taking care of themselves.
The current crop of presidential candidates. Is there anybody even running that represents something that we're talking about here?
No, all of them are New World people. Tsongas, in his book, everything that he's written touts the New World Order. All of it, right for Tsongas' literature. You're going to see New World Order, New World Order, New World Order, New World Order. Clinton, the governor of Georgia, was selected in 1991 by the Bilderberg, governor of Arkansas, was selected in 1991 by the Bilderberg group in Baden-Baden, Germany, to be the new president of the United States. Remember what happened to Gary Hart? What did he do? He went out on a boat with a woman who wasn't his wife, and he was destroyed. Look at Clinton. What's happened to him? Nothing. The press is on his side. They're helping the guy. You know why? Because he was chosen by the people who own the press to be the next president of the United States. Now, I don't know if he will be or not. It's up to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get their way, he will be. Bush is one of the most heinous criminals that's ever walked on the face of the earth. Bush is the man who's been a CIA agent since his college days. He's a member of the Skull and Bones, the Russell Trust. He was initiated in a casket with a ribbon tied around his genitalia. Which symbolizes that he's a priest in the Temple of Isis. A pagan, this guy. This man is a member of the mystery schools.
Well, he has the outward appearance of a good Christian, church-going Christian, though.
They do whatever they have to be approved by the people, but in secret, they're not at all. This is a man who practices pagan religious rituals, magic. Doesn't matter what you think of all these things. I'm just telling you, this is what he does in secret.
Mm-hmm.
He is the man who, when he was chief executive officer, when he was president of the offshore division of Zapata Oil, organized and began the first large-scale drug smuggling operations into this country. George Bush is the one responsible for the drugs on the streets. And the war against drugs is not a war against drugs, it's a war against the Bill of Rights. And we've already lost the Fourth Amendment in this war.
That's true.
And we're going to lose everything else. You watch on, it amazes me. People watch on Saturday night, tough cops, 911. All of these stories that are glorifying the police state and they're falling right into the manipulation as they watch police with no search warrant, with no court order, break down people's doors, tear out their walls, rip open their mattresses. All in the name of the war on drugs.
Pretty sneaky.
It's pretty sneaky, all right. You see them stop people on the streets, and the guy's got $400 in his pocket. They don't press any charges. They didn't even have any reasonable suspicion to stop the person and search him. And what do? They take their money, and they don't give it back. And America's watching this. And the stupid idiots, yes, you stupid idiots, you sit there and watch it, not realizing that when you take away that man's freedom, you've also taken away your own. You see, because they can do the same thing to you. Just because you talk a way that they don't like you talking, or because you wear red shoes, they don't like red shoes, they can do the same thing to you. And under the new law, without a court order, without a search warrant, they can break down your door, they can rip open your mattresses, your couches, your walls, they can trash your house. All in the name of the war on drugs. And let's say they don't like the color of your shoes. All they have to do is drop a little pouch of cocaine in your living room, behind your couch, and find it, and say, aha, you're a drug dealer. What happens then? Now they can confiscate your house, all your possessions, all your property, all your bank accounts, all your cars, boats, vacation cottages, whatever you have. And they can auction it off within 24 hours without ever even pressing charges against you. Without a court order, without due process, without just compensation. And there's not a damn thing that you can do about it. Not a damn thing.
At least right now.
At least right now. And the reason you can't do a damn thing about it is because you're the one who brought it about through your stupidity. You're mentally crippled. You're operating from a position of ignorance, apathy, abdication, irresponsibility. We're losing our country, our freedoms, everything.
And these are strong accusations of the American public. What do you hope to accomplish by angering the very audience that you want to watch and listen to you?
Go prove me wrong. Go make me the idiot. In so doing, you're going to find out what the truth is, and maybe you'll wake your ass up. And if you do, maybe we can save our country. Because I don't really care at this point whether you get mad at me or not. My country's disappearing. My freedoms are disappearing. My daughter's going to live as a slave in the New World Order if you people don't wake up and help me. So, if I had a 2x4, literally, I would smack you upside the head with it. I don't care if you get mad at me. It's beyond that state. You know, I'm willing to put my life on the line. Why would I care if you get mad at me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? People say, well, don't you feel threatened? Don't you feel like your life is in danger? Are you kidding? You're the people who sent your sons and daughters to fight an illegal, immoral, unjustified war in the Middle East? And it didn't bother you a bit that they might have got killed over there? And you're worried that I might get hurt or killed? Right here, really defending my country? Really fighting in defense of the Constitution?
Right. You brought up the Persian Gulf War. That's something that's still on a lot of people's minds. I mean, based on what you're saying, what was the reason for that war?
They should feel really guilty. They should feel really bad about that.
I mean, what about a Saddam Hussein that everyone seems to agree is you know, the evil man here that we had the right to go in and punish, destroy, or whatever?
Well, it's funny that the man who purported to want to destroy Saddam Hussein was the man who really built Saddam Hussein when he was in the Central Intelligence Agency. We have been building up Saddam Hussein's arsenal. His technology comes from us in the Soviet Union. We built him up to create that war. We did it for a purpose. And the purpose was, look at this. If George Bush knew what he was doing, how come he didn't know what he was doing? Here's what he said. We've got to send troops to the Middle East because we can't afford to pay $26 a barrel for oil. That's on tape. Next, he comes out and he says, no, it's not about the price of oil. It's because Saddam Hussein is not going to stop at Kuwait. He's going to go into Saudi Arabia, and those are our friends, our buddies. So we got to go defend Saudi Arabia. And then James Baker says in a press conference, no, it's not about Saudi Arabia. It's not about $26 a barrel for oil. It's about jobs. Folks, we're going to get you a job. And to do it, we're willing to kill your sons and daughters. Yes, sir. We'll send them off to get killed so that you can have a job. Prosperity. That's what it's all about.
Well, what was the actual scenario if we hadn't gone in?
See, that's not the end of it yet. Then George Bush comes out and says, whoa, the White House is flooded for telegrams. They don't want their sons and daughters to get killed for a job. It's not about jobs. It's about naked aggression. Yes, sir. There's a little Hitler over there called Saddam Hussein.
Everything.
And we're going to go destroy him because the world doesn't need another Hitler. Never mind Pinochet in Chile, who's another Hitler. Never mind all the other Hitlers in the world.
Was that
Never
about
mind Tiananmen Square.
Well, then, you know, then people would say, well, the American government's not interested in that because money is not in, you know, it's the oil here. We're talking about money.
No.
So you're saying it's not even that.
No. They've been planning this war for years. In fact, Arco Press wrote a book about it. The name of the book is Rapid Deployment Forces. It was published in 1985. It names Kuwait as the country. It talks about Operation Bright Star, where they've been practicing the war every year since the early 80s. Sending troops over there, practicing the war. Liberating Kuwait. It's even named in the book. The whole thing was spelled out years ago. What it was all about was to establish the New World Order. You see, because for the first time in the history of the world, it's established the legal international precedent that the United Nations could pass a resolution and send its police force to enforce that resolution, and that the member nations would have to pay for that action. And George Bush said it very clearly, but nobody was listening, when he said, no longer will any nation stand against a world united.
And that's that, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, it continues, but we're not going to continue it, and it won't be, we won't finish it tomorrow night. It's a two-hour tape. It's the CNN interview. If you'd like to order it, it's a two-hour tape, $25, and we'll get it right out to you. So you asked for it. I mean, I asked you what to do with all this stuff, and you said make it available. So I'm trying to do it. We get so much more unbelievable amount of material that nobody's ever heard, was never made available to the public, that was recorded and archived. And so now I'm making it available. And now you know what I really said years ago. Not all the bullshit and the lies that you've been hearing. Now you know what I really said years ago, and it hasn't changed a bit. It hasn't changed a bit. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Clue. I love you, my little darling. Good night, Allison, my baby. Good night, Annie. You are the love of my life. listening to 101.1 FM Eager. Stay tuned now for All Oldies Most of the Time. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow night for another episode of The Hour of the Time.